guys. That Joe Arnold is so nice. Oh, my goodness. He was the interview subject today on our WHAS 100 feature. Haley, you'll be a part of one. Ian will be a part of one. Paul Miles. We're going to work our current people in at the latter stage of this, visiting our former personalities and voices people are familiar with from the history of this great radio station.
Makes sense, but I want to know who and when are we interviewing you for the 100 years?
Joe Arnold tried that today. It didn't work out well.
He's so nice.
He tried to flip the script and be the interviewer?
Like, he says, how did you transition? It's like, no, dude. I got an inordinate amount of attention already. I don't need to be interviewed. Joe Arnold tweeted this a few minutes ago. Honored to be a part of the 840 WHAS family and legacy, and Terry Miners embodies the many elements of the 100 years story of civic-mindedness, entertainment, public service, and wackiness. Hope we can visit again soon, Terry. That's awfully nice, Joe. Very kind. I won't have any problems next week with with our guests, who is Maureen Kyle. We called her Queen Maureen when she was a news anchor here.
Ooh, Queen Maureen.
Your problem may be getting her to rein it in a little bit.
She gave me a hard way to go when she worked here. She was a news anchor for a long time. Then she went to Wave TV for a while. Was it simultaneous? She was on both stations?
I think she was on both. Yeah. Because she was kind of doing some weekend stuff for them and working here.
She's a news anchor in Cleveland now. That's her hometown. She was happy to get back home.
Oh, fun.
I'm setting the over-under at 45 seconds before she mentions your back brace.
I had some back surgery issues, and occasionally my back would start hurting, and I would just wear a back brace in
it. It's smart. Good for
you.
Like
you see somebody in Walmart who's lifting heavy things, and they're wearing one of those
like
braces.
Like your dad, your dorky dad. Yeah.
I would walk in, and she'd say, oh, my God, that is the sexiest back brace. She would just drill me. She'd say, you also smell like Ben Gay. Are you rubbing that on? She was just putting the hammer down.
Dang.
She's the daughter of a football coach. She knows
that
smell.
Right. She'd say something like, well, I'll be back with the next newscast in an hour if Terry Miners, old man Terry Miners, can live that long.
Some sass in Queen Maureen. I like it.
She's our guest next Friday, and we have one scheduled for almost every week. I took out the last 2 weeks of the year because there's so much flux in Christmas travel
holidays,
and so forth.
Yeah.
People will miss them. So.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's a person lined up. We have Bill Cody, who I replaced, essentially. Jack Fox was the interim between us. But Bill Cody's like the king of Nashville radio, and he was doing afternoons on this station and actually left to do a country show here in Louisville. He came off of HAS to go be their morning person. And then pretty quickly, I think he went to like Orlando, and then now he's WSM in Nashville morning show. He and I had a great talk a few days ago. But he's not on until like March. I mean, I've got people scheduled out all the way that far into it.
I at first was worried that people wouldn't want to be interviewed, but it seems like you've had a lot of success at getting people to tell their stories.
It's fun. The station's history. We're the first station in Kentucky, 1922, first commercial station on the air in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And so there's a heck of a lot of stories that go with things that have happened on this station. And remember, until 1960s or maybe up until like 1970 when they got rid of all those country shows, you know, Randy, they had live music where people would come in and they'd play, you know, violins and swing music in the 40s and the 50s. And it's like, you know, you go to that studio and they play for 15 minutes, and then you go to another studio, and it was just hilarious.
Hilarious, considering that we passed on the old Grand Old Opry. No, we're good. We don't want your little country music. We got our own thing going here.
That's true. That was,
come on in, dress like a clown, and play me a fiddle.
It was a Saturday night barn dance that was on a big station in Chicago. It's either 89 or 72, because 72 is GN. And 89 is WLS, or was at one time. Anyway, they're the 50,000-watt Clear Channel station. They had a Saturday night barn dance. Then they wanted to syndicate, so they came to the next gigantic station, and it was us. And the ownership said, we're classical music people. No thanks.
Ooh!
So they move on down to the next giant signal, WSM. They agree to run the Saturday Night Barn Dance. They change the name of the show to the Grand Ole Opry. How'd that work out for Nashville?
I think
and then, like Ian's saying, it wasn't that much longer, and then we're playing all that music anyway.
Yeah.
So, whoopsies.
It was like, oh, okay.
Missed out on that one.
So anyway, yeah.
So some bad decisions have been made in the 100 years.
In the ownership of this station.
It's kind of a microcosm of Louisville as a whole. We've missed out on a few things.
You know what that is?
Swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss. That's what it is. Anyway, it's fun to do this series leading up to our 100th birthday, which is next July. But all the current people we're going to put in the last few weeks, and then probably when it gets near the birthday, we're going to have to do some big show somewhere. We're trying to work out exactly what the details are on that. But have all of the current people on all day. It's a Monday, I think, the 100th birthday.
Oh, nice.
Nice case of the Mondays.
Yeah, so we'll just have as many people as we possibly can, current and former, that can jump on at different times of the day and just do the whole day.
I say we get a bounce house and a ball pit and do the whole thing.
I love the sound
of
that.
Oh, I love it. We just throw one of the mics in the bouncy castle as we're just jumping up and down.
Yep. Dwight has to stay in the ball pit. Vanetti has to stay in the bounce house the entire time.
I don't want Dwight anywhere near a ball pit. He is going to make it disgusting. No one else will be able to play in
it. I keep telling our cheap management we need to give away something on a 100 number, not an 84 number, since that's our frequency, but it's 100. So is it 100,000? Is it 100 something? Is it whatever? And they're like, well, we'll get back with you on that, Terry. Keep interviewing your little friends.
Keep up this little interview.
We used to do that, right? Every time the station would go out on remote, we would give away $100.
Yeah. That might be the way to do that, too, is just have people visit with us in a public place and just hand out hundreds.
That, I think, is more reasonable and likely.
100 every
100 minutes. Seconds or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, 100 seconds. There you go. Somebody's got to have a wad of...
I was just going to say...
Who would have them? Who would we have hold our money?
No well, one that works here.
No. You got to get the biggest, most imposing guy around, Will Clark.
That's good. Squatch would guard the money.
Yep. And he's the guy who hands out the money. We put him in a black suit with the black tie and the briefcase. Dark glasses.
Dark sunglasses.
I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
And hire two armed guards, too, because somebody will take the briefcase.
Well, we handcuff it to his wrist, you know, like it's the nuclear codes or something.
May work out, that's for sure.
Jeez.
Anyway, celebrating the incredible legacy of this radio station. It was Joe Arnold earlier today. You can find it on social media, by the way, at my Twitter feed or Terry Miners on Facebook. I haven't popped him on Instagram yet, but that'll happen in a few minutes. Anyway, he's a delightful person.
Yeah.
And he did the all-night talk show after Joe Donovan, his era ended on here. Joe Donovan played music.
All night? What hours? When to when?
Midnight to 5.
Dang.
And then Wayne Perkey was chronically late. We always tease Perkey about that. It would be 5:05, 5:07, 5 whatever. And we would just tease
him. He'd just come, you know, brisk walking in.
He was the morning man for 30 years.
Oh, my
God. Like, the news would end. Brian Rublin's news would end at, like, 5:06 or whatever. And then there'd either be a pause or somebody would hit something to make some noise. And then eventually, at 5:11,
he'd show up.
You'd hear the mic come on. Good morning, everybody. And you knew he just walked in.
5:01, Wayne Perkey here at News Radio 840.
Even just hearing that gives me anxiety.
Wayne is going to be on. He's interviewed, but he wanted to wait. I was putting him on like a month ago. And he said, I think I want to wait until January because that's my 84th birthday.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
That was a good call on that one. But yeah, Jack Fox will be on. Other people who've, you know, been personalities or news people. Some are management. So we have some people who are like program directors. And
I like that you're not just sticking to talent. You're kind of grabbing from outside the pool.
Skip Essick is funny. He's coming up in December, I think.
Great name.
And but he never said his name correctly, which I will tease him when he gets on. He would call himself Skip Essex.
How do you spell his name?
His name is Essick. But he'd say, this is Skip Essex. And we'd always say to him, your name is Essick. He goes, oh, shut up.
It's not plural. You can't just plural your own name.
But he's a guy who...
It's his radio name.
Yeah, he's very liberal, very Democrat, but he's the one who went and took Rush Limbaugh from the other station and put him on here. He hated him, but he knew we were going to get killed if we didn't have him.
And look at that now. And see, that's one of the good decisions. Exactly. Business-wise, you have to.
Mm-hmm. Ian and I were just discussing this a few minutes ago because Joe Arnold brought it up. He worked for 790 when we took Rush away. I'll give you another example. Oprah Winfrey was on 32, syndicated, mm-hmm. WLKY, and HAS 11 was powerful at that time, was really strong. And Oprah's ratings were just ding, 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 and they started growing, growing, and HAS just took it away. That's just how that works.
That's business, baby.
And 790 was in a kind of a tough spot. I think it was WWKY were the call letters at that time, and they were just having a rough time because they were trying to do talk and there wasn't getting any traction. But they put on this new show called Rush Limbaugh from noon to three. And we saw our numbers. We had like a 12 share, or whatever, which is massive. And then they had a zero, and they had a 0.1 in the mornings. And then suddenly when Rush came on, it was a one. Then it was a two. And the next rating book, it was a four. And the next rating book. And then in the meantime, our number was 12, 10, 9. We were like, we see what's coming.
Yeah.
You take that away, and that's just business.
Call that a big switcheroo.
You can't stay in business if you're going to let somebody else eat your lunch.
Right.
That's showbiz.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a pause. Those WHS 100 breaks are on Fridays, typically. There's a few times it moves to a different time of the week because I'm off. So there's a few times that's going to move. Anyway, happy birthday to us. When we come back, a Marine in Yuma, Arizona, becomes an instant viral sensation for stopping a punk trying to rob a convenience store.
I'd love to see it.
On the way. Welcome to Hailing the Knobs on News Radio 840 WHAS, the Sunday night game. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot which one is Sunday night this week. That is not the Ravens.
No, that one's at 1 o'clock.
Oh, we have to put up with that at 1. Okay. Well, I'll be watching that one. I'll be in. My weekend's filled with ball games aplenty.
Oh, I bet you're just thrilled.
Kind of a great old time. However, I won't be sneaking out at 4 o'clock in the morning to run to the convenience store to get more beer for anything. I'm stocked up for the weekend.
Well, that seems like a trip Mary would go on anyway.
No, I'm the guy that chases things.
Yeah.
I'm the chaser. That's how that works. I'm the hunter-gatherer. Now, have either of you seen the video from the Yuma, Arizona convenience store?
Yes.
Yes.
How tough is this guy, this Marine, who just happens to be there, and some punks come in? It turns out the one with the gun is 14 years old.
That's always a good idea when you're 14.
Man.
To be out at 4:26 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a convenience store.
Not only to be out, to be robbing a convenience store.
14. Then there's another guy behind him who's clearly very young, too. And a third one that you don't see much. He just like appears in the behind the doorway, sees his buddy get jacked by this Marine.
They
are run away
gone
immediately. Here is Channel 15 in Phoenix on the story.
Well, it's a moment seen by millions around the world. An Arizona Marine veteran single-handedly stopping an armed robbery.
And new at 10, I caught up with that Yuma father who tells me he was on his way into work and unarmed because of his job when instinct just took over.
Was just getting ready to turn around to go leave and kind of heard the door swinging open in a little bit aggressive fashion. Kind of had my spidey senses tingling a little bit, and it all unfolded from there.
James Kilser knew instantly an armed robbery was about to go down at this Yuma gas station.
My first thought was that it was an awfully small barrel.
Many would have froze. But not this trained Marine.
The situation had to be dealt with, and there was really only one way to deal with it. Picked my target and said, that's the one I'm going for. And he took an extra step towards me, towards the counter, and he was in my reach.
Now, first off, guys, you've seen the video, so it's like, who would be able to look that quickly at somebody's weapon and say, it seems like a small barrel?
And he's so casually cool. He turns around. There's just a beat where you can see he's processing. Yeah. And he just steps forward and rips. Like, it's nothing. Yeah. It's second nature.
He's turned around facing the clerk and they're exchanging pleasantries because he's going, oh, yeah, whatever. They're having a conversation and he's turning to go to work. 4:26 a.m. How sleepy would you be on your way to work,
man,
stopping by a convenience store to get whatever you...
Yeah, probably to pick up your coffee because you're not even awake yet.
He's got something in a bag, so I'm going to guess it's like, you know, his soda or whatever he's going to drink at work.
Yeah, it could have been lunch. Could have picked up a sandwich or something for lunch.
Right.
He also drops his keys when his keys are in his left hand. He sees the guy with the gun, and when he goes to lunge at the guy to take the gun and take him down, his keys, you see, just fall out of his hand onto the floor. So just immediate. Man, that Marine training's strong.
Oh, yeah, you ain't kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the story from Channel 15.
In a flash, the 32-year-old pounced.
I hit him and the gun before the keys hit the ground. That's how fast I moved. And I'm a little chubby guy, so, I mean, I don't move that fast anymore. I've put on a couple pounds since the Marine Corps.
James wielding his shopping bag like a weapon.
It smashed him in the face and may or may not have broke his nose because he was bleeding all over the place.
The father, unsure if he was still under attack, grabbed the suspect's gun.
Bring it up his body and grab him around his neck and put the gun to his head, spin him around and get him in between me and because I didn't know if his buddies were going to come.
They didn't. And at that point, the suspect came into focus.
I discerned that he was 14 because I asked, how old are you? And he's just 14. And yeah, you done screwed up.
Do you have a message for him now that you know he's 14 years old?
That boy needs some Jesus.
How about that guy, huh?
Listen, what a man.
And there are a lot of people on the thread are saying, you shouldn't just risk and let him have the money and leave and whatever. It's like, but he just said, I'm sorry, it's just instinct. I'm a trained Marine.
And it obviously worked out.
I mean, that's what he's trained to do.
Right. I mean, so there you go. James, God bless you.
Man.
Semper Fi, Marine. Nicely done. 14-year-old at 4:26 a.m. Isn't there anybody that's supposed to know he's supposed to be home? I'm going out early to study for my chemistry test. And then stops with, no, please. Mm-hmm.
14 years old, gun, 4:26 a.m. in a convenience store. That boy can't spell chemistry.
That's right. I'm sure he's going to cough up the names of those two other guys as well, too. Hopefully so. Mm-hmm. Off the streets, they're trouble. That's cancer waiting. Coming back here with Haley and the Knobs. Ruby Rose making trouble on Batwoman. She is unemployed. We'll get to that in a few. That's Neil Young rocking in a free world.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Welcome to Haley and the Knobs on News Radio 840 WHAS. Most embarrassing thing this week for our fair city. The three contestants on Jeopardy have no idea that the Ohio River runs alongside our city. Embarrassing. We think we're everybody knows this and we're out there and it's like they just all had blank stares.
Yeah, that would probably be me too.
Ships, a thousand.
The 107-year-old steamboat Belle of Louisville offers lunch and dinner cruises as it paddles up and down this river.
Deer in the headlights, deer in the headlights.
That river would be the Ohio.
Ouch.
Also, I know you lose money, but there aren't many options when you think about where Kentucky is.
Right.
Like, it would be more confusing if it was a steamboat in the Pittsburgh area where you have three rivers
right.
coming together. Like, which one does this one use?
It's the Allegheny, the Ohio, and
The Monongahela?
Monongahela.
Yeah.
Good call on that one.
Dang.
Three rivers. We know
but
that because the stadium
we've only got
was called
one river.
Three Rivers Stadium.
And they still couldn't figure it out.
No. Mm-mm.
Other show business news, obviously horrible on that Alec Baldwin film shoot. It's like, but everybody's like, what in the world? How can that happen?
How do you not check the gun the second you pick it up? And you make sure you always check it before the scene.
Here's the 911 call.
Santa Fe Fire and EMS, what's the location of the emergency?
Bonanza Creek Ranch has had two people accidentally shot on a movie set by a prop gun. We need help immediately. ID that yelled at me at lunch because asking about revisions. Did you see him lean over my table and yell at me? He's supposed to check the guns. He's responsible for what happened.
Are you now, Mimi?
No. I'm a script supervisor.
How many people are injured?
Two.
Interesting.
Isn't that fascinating?
And I saw another article, and I haven't been able to track down if it's accurate or not, talking about possible staff walkouts on that set before the shooting happened. So evidently there was some upheaval going on that set.
Prior to the shooting.
Yes, prior to the shooting.
Oof.
Oh, boy.
This is turning into a bit of a story.
But they worked out that deal about there was going to be a strike in Hollywood for the writers and performers and everybody because of, I don't know, didn't they work that out like 3 days
ago? Oh, yes. Yeah, there's some sort of deal that at least I think is getting voted on. I don't think that would have affected this necessarily, but I think it was...
This was some upheaval.
Yeah.
Specific
to that set.
Gotcha.
Which makes it even worse, because who knows then who was involved and what. And like that lady said, I got this guy yelling at me, and he's supposed to be checking a gun. And
wow.
Ooh, I can't imagine, like, I was thinking about this earlier. I can't imagine what it's like to be Alec Baldwin right now.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you're an, you know, even if you have that self-importance, you know, I'm just an actor, and I accidentally killed somebody today.
I shot and killed someone. Yeah.
And he's probably handled a prop gun on numerous
a
sets.
A zillion times. He's been in all kinds of films and TV shows.
And, wow. Oh.
Yeah, he says his heart's broken. I know that he tweeted and so forth, but I mean, it's like, yeesh.
Or that conversation he had with that woman's husband. Oh,
what do you even say? What can you even say?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Her story, by the way, if you read up on it, read about her. She grew up in Ukraine, and just the challenge is obviously there's it's such
the victim.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's such a horrific situation. She gets away from there, gets to the U.S., studies film, does all this to better herself and really put herself in a nice position, and then boom, killed in a freak thing like that. But a survivor in so many ways prior to, it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Bertha Reed, God rest her soul. All right, now, former Batwoman employees are responding to Ruby Rose's allegations of terrible working conditions on that show's set. She did an Instagram story
throwing shade.
Yes.
At the cast.
The Batman, the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
There were a bunch of posts on Wednesday. She said she left the show back in 2020 after just one season as the superhero. Well, yesterday, an actor named Doug Gray Scott, who played her character's father during and after Rose's time on that show, put out a statement condemning her comments, specifically the ones about him, in which she accused him of having verbally abused women, coming and going when he wanted to, overall being a nightmare, were her words. He writes, "I absolutely and completely refute the defamatory and damaging claims made against me by Ruby Rose. They're entirely made up, never happened. As Warner Brothers Television has stated, they decided not to exercise the option to engage Ruby for season 2 based on multiple complaints about her workplace behavior."
What?
And then other people on the show are also backing him.
Oh, no. Saying, yeah, I agree.
She's the arse. Well, I can't say the other word.
Good for you. Good save there.
But it's like, dude, if you're going to throw shade, you're going to cast aspersions upon your coworkers, you better have some allies.
Yeah, because you know they're going to have the receipts. And if they're all coming forward and you're the jerk...
Multiple other employees posting things online calling her the jerk, essentially.
That makes me sad. I liked her.
She was on Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black. She modeled. I think she was in some of the Fast and the Furious movies. But dang it.
Here's what one of the guys, Camrus Johnson, who plays Luke Fox on Batman, tweeted late Wednesday. He felt compelled to respond to her comments, quote, "Yeah, fam, she was fired. And it's very hard to be fired when you're the lead. Imagine what you have to do for that to happen."
His was my favorite response.
Subtle. That is some subtle shade.
You're the lead on a show and they fire you. You are the problem.
Oof.
That's got to be difficult to do.
Oh,
100%. You're the producers of a show. Your star, your lead person is difficult, but you want to keep the show alive.
Impossible.
We got to get rid of the
star. And not only the lead person, but at that time, she was kind of a it girl. Mm-hmm. She was just coming off Orange is the New Black. Like Haley said, she was doing some modeling. She was showing up everywhere. And they were like, look who we got to play Batwoman. And then,
Be nice to people. It's not that hard. It's easier to be nice to people than to be a jerk.
Oh.
Much easier.
Who wants to be around somebody who treats their coworkers poorly? It's like, come on. It's so nice to say, how you doing? How's your kids? How's life? I like your new sweater or whatever it is, you know. It's just so much easier
that
to live
life. That bat suit looks good on you.
That's what that is. Oh, we come back. Yeah, we'll have a minute or two, won't we? We have to talk about Renee Zellweger. Is she in a show where she's wearing a big fat suit now? I don't know if this is a good idea or not.
Oh, Renee.
I didn't think that we were doing that stuff anymore.
No.
There's people of all sizes, and everybody's beautiful. Hire somebody that you need to look that way. Coming back in a minute. Yeah, it's coming up in a few minutes here. Haley and the Knobs is on for just one more minute. All right, fat suits. Good idea?
Bad idea. Renee, just either hire a bigger actress or, I don't know, gain the weight for that limited amount of time that you're on screen and you need to be that weight.
That's harder than you think, though.
I know, but they did it in Castaway. Tom Hanks lost all that weight.
Oh, that's right.
And in Philadelphia.
That's right, when he had AIDS.
He was much younger then.
It can be done. Or hire another actress.
And, of course, people who are body confidence experts are saying, you know, hey, this is a grim message to talented fat people. And as I said, there's a lot of talented people you could find for the role. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. Agree 100%. Mm-hmm. Have a great weekend.
You too, bud.
You
we'll
too.
See you dudes. Go Cats in this upcoming scrimmage.
Woo, Cats by 90.
I bet the Cats win.
Tom Leach coming up in 5.